Psalm chapter 85. Yep, and everybody who's supposed to go to the nursery, go to the nursery. Amen. And why am I seeing adults get up and go to the nursery right now? Amen. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Now don't get nervous. I know it's a couple of minutes to 12. Amen. Somebody said, if we didn't get out by 12, I'm leaving. Well, hey, I'm staying. Amen. I'm staying. And so we won't be long, I promise you. Amen. I said to somebody one time, I made the statement one time in the church, I said, I'm going to keep you as long as, what's her name? Liz Taylor kept her last husband. I made that statement, and there was a bunch of young people that had no idea who Liz Taylor was. And so I said, well, let me break it down on your level. I said, I'm going to keep you as long as Kim Kardashian kept her last husband. Amen. And so everybody said, oh, then that means we're not staying long. I said, that's right. That's what I was trying to get over to you. Amen. So let's all stand for a couple of minutes, all right? I got something that is burning down in my heart, and I have got to get it out. Amen. And so I hope and pray that it'll be a help to you this morning. Psalm chapter 85, I want to read down through verse number 6. Verse number 6. Psalm chapter 85, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? I want to ask you this question this morning. The question is this, is your motto, in God is still our trust? Is your motto, in God, or is God still in our trust? I want to just preach this morning on that thought. And I want you to pray for me, amen? And pray that somebody will get help from the Word of God this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Lord, and we thank You that, Lord, just because it's 12 o'clock, Lord, maybe You're not willing to work at 12 o'clock right away. And so, Lord, we pray that, Father, we are here. Lord, we need You. Father, we are in a world, God, that is hurting and that is struggling and that is in trouble. And God, I pray that, Lord, You would help every born-again believer in this place, Lord, to ask themselves the question, Lord, are You still really our trust? Lord, is it our motto? Is it our belief that in a world that is broken and that in a world that is certainly upside down and in chaos, Lord, we are so grateful that You are still on the throne. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And Father, I pray that if there's anything whatsoever that is between You and I, Father, I pray that You'd scrub me up. And Father, I pray that I'd be a vessel meet for the Master's use. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, You'd help me to preach the word of God with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, we just want to tell You and stop by and let You know that we love You. Lord, and we thank You for all that You've done. Well, that's it for right now, Lord. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, in these few moments. We'll talk to You a little later. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. When the United States of America went to war with Great Britain in 1812... there was a young American lawyer and poet named Francis Scott Key. He was asked to negotiate the release of a civilian taken prisoner during the British march to Washington. He was successful in getting the prisoner released, but it was during those negotiations that the British began their attack in Baltimore on Fort McHenry. His companions were forced to stay back and watch the awful event unfold. The fighting was intense. The noise of the rockets and the bombs and the cannon fire had been almost constant throughout the day and continued long into the night. The story goes on to say that Francis Scott Key and his companions waited eagerly until the morning to see if the flag was still there flying over Fort McHenry in Baltimore, Maryland. As the morning light began to break, Key looked across the waters and seen the flag that it was still there. And because of his joy, he immediately began to write down the words of a song that were racing through his head. He began to write the phrases on the back of an envelope. Later, the song was published as "The Defense of Fort McHenry" and enjoyed immense popularity. Soon, it was retitled "The Star-Spangled Banner," and the title of the song became the name of the country's flag, and because of that song, America would be known as the land of the free and, thank God, the home of the brave. Amen. Although written to rejoice in the victory of the moment. The song says bombs were bursting in air, gave through to the night that our flag, that it was still there. I want you to know that the last stanza of the song that many of us maybe don't sing or may not even know, Francis Scott Key, a devoted Christian, hope would be the constant characteristic of America. And I want you to listen to what he said. In the last verse of the song, he said this. He said, "Oh, thus be it, ever when free men shall stand between their loved homes and war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto: in God is our trust." Hallelujah. May I say to you that, listen, music has always been a part of American heritage. Music has always been a way to celebrate our freedom, to celebrate our liberty, to celebrate our independence under the hand of the Almighty God. And when you begin to study the Word of God, you will discover that music was also a very important part of a national celebration. In fact, I can tell you, somebody asked me one time, they said, "Preacher, do you think that the Lord loves music?" And I said, "Absolutely, He loves music, because the biggest book in the Bible is a hymn book." Amen. And it's the book of Psalms. Amen. And many of these songs were written for so many different things. In fact, the Jewish people would gather together and to go into Jerusalem and would sing songs pertaining to a particular holiday that they were celebrating, just like we do here in America. There were some songs that were national in nature, that were celebrating the freedom of God's people. Others were spiritual in nature, celebrating their freedom from their sin. I remember what Dr. Jerry Vines said years and years ago when he talked about the church. He said, when you come to the house of God, he said, there ought to be three books that you always bring with you. He said, what are they? Number one is the good book. The second one is the hymn book. And the third one is your pocketbook. Somebody say amen right there. I want you to know that, listen, Psalm 85, you see, it is a hymn of celebration with great national meaning. And I want you to understand today that as we begin to speak to you here this morning on Psalm chapter 85, that we ought to stand in the liberty where the Lord Jesus Christ has made us free. Amen. And you say, "Preacher, what freedom are you talking about?" Not only here in America, but my dear friend, in the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what do you call our attention to this morning?" I want you to take a look, first of all, if you will, that we can declare that in God is our trust. Number one, because of the call to celebrate. The call to celebrate. Notice, if you will, in verse number one, the words say it this way: "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land." I want you to know that, listen, in the very first three verses, you're going to notice that six times that the writer says, "thou hast, thou hast, thou hast," meaning you have, you have, you have in every instance. You see, he is celebrating the marvelous blessings of God upon those people in Psalm chapter number 85. And I want you to know that, listen, we have a lot to celebrate as Americans here today. Amen. While it may seem that the ship is going down, we were talking about it last night with it being the 4th of July. I want you to know that, listen, we are still living in a free land. Amen. We are still being able to conduct our churches right out in the open. Amen. We are still able to walk in this place and throw our hand up in celebration of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are still being able to send missionaries across the world and into fairs like Brother Peppers and his wife to be able to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into a world that is hurting and into a world that is dying. We can still stand up. And we can still sing songs like, I have been blessed. 6 verses in that song. And my friend, the writer, listen, could not exhaust the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, I'm glad still of America. Amen. I want you to know that, listen, it may be tarnished. It may be broken. But I'm glad there's still a remnant, thank God, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, thank God, there's still a remnant that is wanting to get the gospel into a world that is broken and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into a world that is hurting and struggling. You see, we can celebrate our liberty according to verse number 1. You see, liberty is always worth fighting for. It is the main reason why that many Americans have laid down their lives for this country. I want you to know that, listen, since the conception of our country in 1776, there have been almost 2 million soldiers that have lost their lives or have given their lives, my dear friend, to protect the liberty that we have here in America. There is no doubt in my mind that our American liberty was built upon Christian faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was the God of this nation, that it was founded upon the principles of God's Word. Somebody say amen right there. That the teaching of Christianity was the fundamental thing that was going on in the home, and that people dedicated their lives for the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, listen, the Supreme Court can try its best to make the laws, my friend, but I want you to know there's nothing any greater than God's law. Amen. And I want you to know that, listen, come what may, they can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. They can make the laws that they want to try to make. But my dear friend, I'm going to stick with the Word of God. Amen. They can tote me off to jail. They can put me in the electric chair and throw the switch. But I want you to know I'm sticking with the Bible. I'm sticking with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need men in this pulpit that will back up my dear friend and preach the Word of God without controversy and without error. And my friend, I want you to know we need men of God and Christians that have been saved by the grace of God to come out of the closet with their lifestyle and let the world know, thank God, that they have been born again, that they've been saved by the grace of God, and that God is still, hallelujah, on the throne. Is anybody with me? Say amen this morning. May I say to you, my friend, listen, I want you to understand that our founding fathers made some profound statements. Some profound statements. Patrick Henry said this, that patriot and founding father of our country. He said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. James Madison, our nation's fourth president, and also known as the father of our Constitution, said this, we have staked the whole of all of our political institutions and upon the capacity of mankind for self-government and upon the capacity for each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves, and yes, to judge ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. But my dear friend, just the last week, we seen that the Supreme Court in the state of Oklahoma decided that they were going to wheel the Ten Commandments off of its property. May I say to you, my dear friend, it is a direct attack on the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but when that happens, it ruffles my feathers. Amen. It causes causes me to have the spirit of Joshua, to want to stand up and fight, and to want to let them know, my dear friend, that if you start taking the Word of God and you start taking it out of society, and my friend, you begin to try to redirect your thoughts into a secular, my friend, and liberal type of situation and go away from the Word of God, I want you to know people will end up in a place called hell. But may I say to you, we are a law, or a nation of laws. God, my friend, is a God of law. And may I say to you, but while, hey, listen, while the law may be there, I'm glad of the grace of God that He has given to me. And thank God the grace of God that He has given to you, that although we were condemned by the law, thank God the grace of God. Thank God He went to the cross of Calvary and saved an old wretch like me. May I say to you, that ought to cause a Baptist to want to shout. That ought to cause a Baptist to want to get his white hanky out and wave it around and say, thank you, Jesus, for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, the first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, he said this. He said, Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers and their leaders. You see, all of these truths are well documented. You see, for example, in the charters of the original colonies, in the original compacts, like the famous Mayflower Compact, that was well documented about acknowledging the reasons why they came to America, why they came here. I want you to get this. When the Supreme Court looked into the matter in 1892, why it was that people came to America, poring over all of the original documents, they concluded with one unanimous and ambiguous voice saying this, that this is a Christian nation. This is a Christian nation. How did they go over that, my friend? Because of what, my friend, the documents and what they said and the reasons why that they came. But you see, today secularism is collapsing the foundation upon which this nation was built. They have tried to rob us of our rich Christian heritage and strip away the very visage of America's Christian heritage. They are saying, my dear friend, that listen, that we are, they're trying to take what was given and what we have stood upon for years and try to twist it and turn it. It is time to celebrate liberty, I say, though, once again. I say that the Church of the Living God, my friend, we sometimes look defeated, Brother Dennis, but I want you to know we ought to stand up and say that in God we still trust. In God still is our faith. In God rests our freedom. In God rests our family and our friends. And in God rests our forever. Why? Because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. You see, I want you to know we can not only celebrate according to the text, we can not only celebrate our liberty, but we can celebrate our prosperity as well. Our prosperity. Notice, if you will, in verse 1, the Bible says, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob, the Bible says. In other words, God had restored them from Babylonian captivity, and good times for Jacob literally were right around the corner. Now I know that we are living in a society today, my friend, that is trying to strip away, if you will, American exceptionalism. But I want you to know, my friend, listen, the reason why we got to where we are is because, my friend, not anything that we were able to do, but I believe it was because the founding fathers put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they got this nation on the track, my friend, broke away from religious tyranny in order for you and I to be able to have a place where we could come and we could worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, preacher, this message is political. No, it is not, my friend. Listen, if you think that this morning you are a couple of French fries short of a Happy Meal, amen. I want you to know that, listen, it is not political this morning. But my friend, listen, we are taking back and looking over the documents that was given from years ago. And may I say to you, my friend, listen, we are a Christian nation. My friend, we were built upon the principles and the foundation portions of the Word of God. God has blessed America because, my friend, we have called and cried out to Him. Amen. But I'm telling you, we are going down a path. We are going down a road right now, my friend, to where we are trying to push God out of society. The reason why our churches are drying up, the reason why families are broken, the reason why, my friend, we are seeing what we are seeing in our world today is because, my friend, we are more concerned about the prosperity of America instead of what God has given to you and I. May I say to you, we ought to reverse it and put our sights and our minds and our heart back on the Lord Jesus Christ and give everything we've got to Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I begin to look over the history of America. And I see that, listen, God brought us through the American Revolution. He brought us through the War of 1812. He brought us through the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Desert Storm. God has brought us through these things. And my dear friend, listen, we've got food on our table. We've got clothes on our back. We've got homes, comfortable homes, that God has provided us with. Many of us have two cars, three cars in our driveways. I want you to know that, listen, churches that we can worship in, heat in the winter and air in the summer. Even though the economy is bad, I want you to know, listen, the restaurants are still got plenty of people that are going down there and eating. Amen. I want you to know that it seems like even though the economy's down, I was reading an article the other day that vacations are up by 25% here in America. God is still pouring out His blessings upon this nation. Yet, my dear friend, we are continuing to turn our back on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My friend, listen, while we celebrate our prosperity, we must remember where our prosperity comes from and where, my friend, the one who holds our tomorrow. All things are upheld by the word of His power. At any given moment, my friend, God could take that prosperity and dry it up. So I say this morning, we throw our hands up in the air and we say, thank you, God, once again for your blessings upon me, my blessings upon my church, and the blessings upon our great nation once again. You see, we can celebrate our spirituality according to verse number 2. Read it with me if you will. The Bible says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. I want you to know that, listen, I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care how far you've ran. I don't care how much sin is in your life. I want to stop by here this morning and remind you that you can be forgiven, that Jesus paid it all. That, my dear friend, it should never get old and it should never get mundane. My friend, that listen, that the Lord Jesus Christ bled and died at the cross of Calvary that you might have your sins atoned and forgiven this morning. My friend, listen, I'm glad as I look over my life and I see the sin that was in my life. My friend, when I lay my head on my pillow at night, every once in a while, Brother Dennis, tears begin to stream down off my face because I am reminded that I am not worthy of the blessings of God, that I'm not worthy to be standing here preaching in this pulpit here today, that I'm not worthy, my dear friend, of the blessings that God has bestowed upon me on my life. But I'm glad of His grace this morning, and I'm glad of His mercy, and I'm glad, thank God, that He loved me when nobody else would. And thank God I was able to find rest and hope and the Lord willing to forgive me of my sins. And you know what I believe this morning? I still believe that God is willing to forgive America, don't you? Don't you believe that this morning? I really do. I still believe that God is willing to forgive America once again. But my dear friend, I believe with all my heart we are crossing deadlines with God. I believe we are drawing lines in the sand every solid day. And I want you to know, listen, that's why I wish the church of the living God would get on fire for the Lord once again. I want to just give you this. I want to give you this very quickly. I want you to look at verse 4 and 5. And I want you to know that in addition to our call to celebrate, we can declare that in God is our trust. Number two, because of the challenge to investigate. Because of the challenge to investigate. Notice, if you will, verse 4 and verse 5. The Bible says this. The Bible says, turn us, O God, of our salvation. Now get this. And cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? You see, in verse number 4 and in verse number 5, the unpopular theme, and it is unpopular, I promise you that. I've learned that on Facebook this past week, that it is unpopular to begin to talk about the anger of God. But my friend, it is something that is very, very real. You say, why is God angry? What things disturb Him? Well, I want you to know that in order for us to answer that, especially here in America, we need to take just a second here and we need to have an American history lesson for just a second to begin to see, my friend, how this began to get to where it is at here in America today. Now, let me give you this. Stay with me. We're almost done. How many's hungry? Say amen right there. Well, okay, only 14 of them's amen. The rest of them's fine. So I'm going to keep preaching for another hour. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Now listen. Stay with me. Stay with me. The Declaration of Independence, this is what it states. So listen to our history lesson for a second. It says this. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You can translate those words as obvious. In other words, we hold these truths to be self-evident or obvious, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed, or they are equipped, if you will, by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In that paragraph, you have certain basic affirmations that were made. Now get this. The recognition of absolute truth is number one. It states, we hold these truths to be self-evident. We hold them to be obvious, in other words. Number one. Number two, the recognition of our Creator. The Declaration of Independence. Some people think it's the Bible, but it's the Declaration of Independence. They recognize the Creator. It says that we have been endowed by the Creator. And a side note is this. Did you know that all 50 state constitutions also recognize God in some form or fashion in their preamble? All 50 states in America talk about God in their preamble and in their constitutions. Now, so number one, the recognition of absolute truth. Number two, the recognition of the Creator. Number three, the recognition of moral absolutes, that all men are endowed, all men are equipped by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, these affirmations are the basic premises of our founding fathers. Now, here's what we got to do. We've got to fast forward the tape. Excuse me. Fast forward the tape, and we need to go 80 years after 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and we need to go to 1859. I want you to get this. There was a man by the name of Charles Darwin who published a book entitled The Origin of the Species. In this book, Darwin basically states that all created beings owe their existence to a process of evolution, that all higher forms of life derive their existence from lower forms of life through a process of natural selection. You see, this statement became known as the theory of evolution, and it started changing the way that people thought about their own existence. My friend, that is where the seed began to be planted. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Then in the later part there of that century, we go into the first part of the 1900s where liberal theology began to creep into our churches. And it started in parts of Germany and Europe, and then it moved across the Atlantic Ocean into America. And I want you to get this. It began in the 1920s with Harry Emerson Fosdick, one of America's most liberal, noted theologians who taught and denied the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied the inerrancy of Scripture. He denied the visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this man, along with John D. Rockefeller Jr., began an attack on Christian fundamental teachings that began spreading like wildfire throughout America. The church became and began to become corrupted with heresy and began to be corrupted with apostasy. People who know what truth was, but they begin to turn. They begin to ignore it because of what was creeping in society. And the book of Jude warns of those who will creep in unaware. They will look like me. They will look like you. But my dear friend, inside they are ravening wolves. Amen. Dr. Mark Cameron made this statement. He said this. He said, if you get rid of the incarnation of Christ, the foundation of Christianity begins to crumble. It is impossible to stand upon the Word of God without the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it is the Latin word where we get our word enfleshment. That the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was manifested in the flesh. You see, Fosdick in his famous sermon, Shall the Fundamentalists Win? He declared that you can, now get this, he declared you could deny the virgin birth, the inerrancy of Scripture, and deny the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He then taught that you could still be a Christian and not believe in the Bible and not believe in its doctrines. My friend, in 2015, hey, that's exactly where we are at today. And we've got people sitting right in our churches on comfortable pews, my friend, that have turned from the Word of God. But I have stopped by to let you know that the Word of God is still true. That the Word of God is going to stand when the world is on fire. And my friend, we've got to stand up and preach it. We've got to stand up and beg God once again to get men of God that is going to study the Word of God and proclaim it, that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Thank God Jesus still saves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His name forever. Amen. May I say to you, this liberal type of preaching in America started the trend of a social gospel that we hear today from many pulpits, whereby mankind gets better and better and better as social changes come up in our life. They become more heavenly, if you will. It is preaching like Joel Osteen that says you can become a better you. My friend, it is a different message than what was preached by the great missionary David Livingstone years ago when he reminded us that mankind was monsters of iniquity. That we, by our very core and by our very being, that we are sinners. My friend, but listen, you imagine taking the Christian out of this world. You imagine removing the Spirit of God from this world. And my friend, this world, listen, if you think it's bad now, my friend, listen, you have no idea what bad is. That's why we've got to have preaching. That's why we've got to have the Bible. That's why we've got to have the authority of the Word of God once again in our life. We ask ourselves the question, and we have the audacity to ask the question, why is God angry with us? Why is God angry with America? To quote President Washington, he said this. He said, the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right within itself, heaven itself ordained it. He said these words. William Penn said, those people who will be governed by or will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. The Bible says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. My friend, listen, America cannot implore a holy God for his blessings while insisting at the same time on implementing policies and practices that are clearly contrary to the Word of God. To obtain blessings, we must obey the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. And if you don't agree with that, hey, I'm sorry, I can't help you right now. Amen. But I can pray for you. I want to give this in closing. There's a command to anticipate in verse 6. A command to anticipate, verse 6. Notice what it says. The Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" I want you to know that we can anticipate and pray and ask God to give us revival. I want you to know that it is God who sends revival. It is we, the people of God, who can experience revival. You see, when you study the Word of God, you will find that God always places the responsibility, now get this, for the condition of a nation upon the people of God of that nation. I want to repeat that. Some of y'all fell asleep on that statement. Let me say it again. Listen to me. When you study the Bible, you will find that God always places the responsibility for the condition of a nation upon the people of God in that nation. You see, my dear friend, listen, our problem is not the liberal. Our problem is not, my friend, the pornographic community. Our problem is not the homosexual community. Our problem is not the politicians of this world. But my friend, our problem, my friend, is the church of the living God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and what? And will heal their land." Where is it going to start? Where will it begin? Brother Dennis, it could start with Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. It could start this week at the camp meeting. It could start this week, my friend, when you and I fall flat on our face and begin to cry and call out to a living God. We can anticipate. We can call for a decision. I remember in the great fire of 1871 in Chicago, D.L. Moody was preaching that night. And D.L. Moody told those people that evening, he said, "I want you to go home and I want you to think about what I said." He dismissed the service that night, did not give an invitation. The great Chicago fire of 1871 swept that city, and over 90 people died that night, and over 300 died that night, and over 90,000 people lost their homes. The city was absolutely destroyed. Devastation was everywhere. People were screaming and crying in the streets of the city of Chicago. D.L. Moody, that haunted him for the rest of his days. Never again did D.L. Moody ever preach a sermon and he told somebody to just go home and think about it. No, for the rest of his days, when that man got done preaching the Word of God, he called for a response. He called for those people that listened to the preaching of the Word of God. Every time he preached, he said, "Come, come, talk to the Lord, speak to the Lord, fall down on your face and cry out to a holy God." May I say to you, my dear friend, with heads bowed and eyes closed,